All right, we are here live. How's everybody doing? Mike Jeffers here, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and of course, the program director of the Epiphany Center for the Arts. It is, what is today? Tuesday already. Man, we're flying, right? We're flying. Hey, before I bring on our guest, did anybody see the Blue Angels flyby today? It's pretty cool. We actually went up on the roof of our building. Don't tell anybody because we're not supposed to be up there, but it was pretty cool. So if you saw that, if you've got any pictures, hit us up in the comments because it's always fun to see pictures and video and all that stuff of something like that. They were in and out of the city pretty quickly. Not exactly like the air show, but still, you know, it was pretty cool. And plus, it's a nice day. Sun's out. A little chilly here by the lake, but the sun's out and all that good stuff. So hopefully everybody's doing well. We've got a few new GoFundMe pages happening on GoFundMe. So I'm just going to have people start steering over there because we are trying to keep up on all of the different GoFundMe events that are happening throughout the city for venues, for artists, and also the staffs of venues. And it's so difficult. So if you go to Chicago Music Revealed, we've got a link right at the top that takes you right to the GoFundMe actual site, and then it should link right to one of the pages. But I found that if you go in there and you hit the search and you do Chicago Music, I think there's like 2,000 GoFundMes happening right now. So I would encourage everybody to go over there. You can go to chicagomusicrevealed.com. Of course, all of our past issues, Jesus, I'm back in the print days of Chicago Jazz Magazine. All of our past shows, this is episode 32, so all of the other shows are up there along with our podcast. And if you're watching there now, you can see us streaming live as well. So, all right, on the show today, I'm very excited. But before I bring Patrick on, programming note, tomorrow I'm going to be live at 3 o'clock tomorrow because I've got something happening at 4:30 tomorrow. So 3 o'clock tomorrow, but we have a very special guest tomorrow as well. And addition to today, the great guitarist Bobby Broom's going to be on the show tomorrow. We're going to promote that right after this show. He's going to be on. We're going to be talking about a live stream he's doing with some international musicians on Thursday. Plus, he's in the process of recording a new release, so we're going to talk about that. And we did a feature interview right before COVID-19 shut all of the entertainment industry down here in Chicago and nationally. So I've been holding that feature interview, and I think we're going to drop that probably in the mid-summer area. So we might announce when we're going to do that tomorrow as well, or at least we're going to talk about it. But for those of you that know Bobby Broom, he's an international, jazz superstar guitar player. So it'll be a pleasure to have him on. We're going to find out what he's been doing during this whole situation. I know he had some tour dates. He had some dates here in Chicago as well. So all of that's been canceled. So we're going to catch up with him tomorrow and see how things are going on his end. But, looking forward to discussing things with him. But tomorrow at 3 p.m. is the time that we're going to be on tomorrow with Bobby. But before we get to Bobby tomorrow, we've got Patrick Welby on today, and we've got him on the phone, so I'm going to do my graphic stuff and bring up Patrick's picture here, and Patrick's on the phone. Patrick, are you there?
I'm here. Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad we could make this happen. The Skype froze up a little bit at the last second, but we made the phone happen. Now, Patrick, to set this up, Patrick and I got connected through Shonda Brooks, who was on last week. And she said, you've got to talk to Patrick. So I talked to Patrick, I think, at the end of last week. And we talked about his magazine, which is These Days Magazine, which actually is Chicago Jazz Magazine. I started Chicago Jazz Magazine to cover the jazz scene in Chicago. And Patrick started this magazine to cover the indie scene, the indie rock scene, the indie pop scene, the indie hip hop scene, everything that's under kind of the mainstream radar, it seems. And then he catches these guys on their way up. And then when they become in the mainstream, he's one of the guys that actually helps get the word out about that. So when I saw I read through his magazine, it's a digital magazine, an e-magazine, of course, thesedaysmag.com. You can get all the information, but they have some great articles. And I, Patrick, I love going through that through your website, I keep finding different things. I was actually reading about the hip hop grocery store today, or the corner store today. I mean, you're not just covering artists. You're covering where they hang out, some of the different people that everybody connects with that might be outside of the music scene, but that are in the music scene because the musicians actually connect with them. So how did you start this magazine?
Yeah, so These Days magazine started the fall of 2015, so we're just 5 years old now. And I co-founded it with a couple of other folks in the Chicago music industry that I had met along the way, some dating back to my time at Radio DePaul, the student-run station at DePaul University. So with my co-founders, Brent and Eric, you know, we saw a need for a voice and coverage of artists that we admired, and we were following along with their career, and we wanted something a little denser. We wanted, you know, our own photos, our own video, kind of our own voice to it all. So yeah, founded These Days 5 years ago now, and have an incredible team, you know, that works on it day in and day out. We're definitely using Slack like crazy here during the crisis. And I attribute, you know, all the great stories and all the great coverage and all the great photos to that team. I've really managed to surround myself with some really talented people, and I'm really grateful for that.
That's one of the hardest things, and that's one of the things that I wanted to connect with you on as well, because it's so difficult to connect into that indie scene if you're not like completely ingrained in the indie scene, no matter what the genre is. And I mean, I right. think you and I talked, and I mean, you can't be everywhere at one time. I can't be everywhere at one time. So we really rely on a lot of really good contributors and people that have a passion for the music to go and find it. And that's what you found with your contributors with These Days magazine. So when you started it, 5 years ago. What was the connection like? How did you find the contributors to, you know, source out some of this stuff too? Because I mean, you know, you and I both know that some people say, "Oh man, I want to put something together. I want to write something. I want to do this, man. For them, it'll be great." And then they disappear, and we never see them again. You know, so it's hard to find those people that'll follow through on something, but also are very knowledgeable about the scene. So how did you go about putting that pool of contributors together?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. A couple of things I think combined. We've always really had just a great admiration for the other publications in Chicago. Some people that have inspired us were Fake Shore Drive, very long-standing pillar of the Chicago hip hop community, and then Lyrical Lemonade, which is a newer one. They do very like short burst coverage, shorter blog posts, where we kind of wanted to pivot more toward long form journalism. And I think just by doing that, putting out a few pieces that, you know, we as the founders wrote, people just sort of naturally reached out to see how they could contribute. Folks that were kind of interested in more of those long form stories, you know, covering an artist's whole journey versus, you know, just one song. So we've definitely had a lot of just natural outreach, you know, over the years. I think it helps a little bit that myself and my co-founders have, you know, different past businesses and entities in the music industry. So we have a little bit of, you know, some name recognition, if you will. I think we've also had a great relationship with some of the colleges and universities. You know, there's tons of people looking to get experience. We've had, you know, as an alum of DePaul University and Radio DePaul, kind of always naturally had a relationship there. So we've had a couple writers who have contributed and also, you know, do radio shows at some capacity. But we've always had a very open door policy. You know, people have come and gone. I think we've got about, you know, 10, 15 regular contributors at the moment, but, you know, I think 30 or 40 people have guest written over the years, and that's totally fine. We want to be a platform where people have an idea and we're a home for that. You know, it could be a unique story that may not fit somewhere else. So we try and support those creative ideas. And yeah, it's kind of an open door policy, and that's worked for us.
Yeah. The thing I you brought up the long form, and with Chicago Jazz Magazine, that's sort of like the thing that made us stand out a little bit from some of the mainstream things, because we were able to do 5,000, 7,000 interviews, paid word interviews, you know, which is like unheard of if you went to the Tribune or something. Not that there's anything wrong with the Tribune, but they just don't have the space. So we were doing that. And that's similar to what you do. You do, you tell the full story. You're able to get in depth into some of these different stories and into the community, which is, you know, you can do that more when you're thinking that way, I think. But also with your mission, the way your mission is, you're really getting into that community, and you're able to really tell background of some of the artists and some of the industry people that you're featuring, which I found really interesting, because, you know, you always hear the gloss over stuff. This is the new release. This is what they're doing. They're playing over here. Here's what's going on. Everybody had pizza for dinner, and thanks, you know, yeah. We'll see you all at the show. But I love the fact that you're able to get in and spend some time with these artists.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's been our intent from the beginning is, you know, we're often an artist's first story, and this is the first time that they're interacting with, you know, quote unquote, the press at some capacity. Mm-hmm. They may not even have press photos. So we've always made having our own photo content a big part of any story that we do. You know, everything on the site we've produced in-house. We have some great, you know, photographers on staff, Michael Salisbury, Julian Carr, who have contributed countless hours to make sure that those photos are good. So, you know, we understand how valuable it is for an artist to have, you know, a written piece out there and new photos to use. And so we really take the time to make sure that the story's told, you know, because some of these younger artists, this is their first piece of press, this is the first time their story's coming out. You know, often they're sharing very personal things that reflect in their music. And, you know, we want to make sure that that's all buttoned up and so we can grow along with them. It's been pretty cool to see in the last 5 years, some of these artists who we did, you know, smaller blurbs on have become our cover stories, and we've kind of grown along with them.
That's one of the hardest things as an artist, and it's even worse now. I mean, when I was coming up in, like, you know, the mid 90s, when I came back from college and I started getting on the scene and doing stuff, social media wasn't happening yet. There wasn't any of that stuff. So, I mean, as an artist, you played the certain places. You got heard by certain people, because if you could open up for this person and that person and this person, especially as a headlining artist, not that I am, I'm a drummer, but I mean, you know, as a headlining artist, if they got on the right bill and they were able to get in front of that artist's audience, it helped a ton to push their career. Now, with just, first of all, the flood of independent artists being able to record stuff at their homes, number one, number two, right. Then pushing it out on social media, dropping it on SoundCloud, on Spotify, everywhere everybody's dropping music. It's like a battle to get press, to get known, to be heard, and to break through. So I think that, and, you know, I'm talking about, like, you know, the major publications, I mean, there's only so much, you know, bandwidth they can even put out there for the amount of artists. So I think it's essential to have digital magazines and, you know, like yours, like mine, like a handful of others, because we're like the first, we're the first, you know, the first, what do you call it? PR push, like what you said, that anybody's right. going to get. So if they can get our attention and we can kick them up a couple of rungs, get them a bigger view, get them more audience views, that's going to be a key to a lot of people's careers. And I'm sure you've probably, you could probably rattle off some people that you've probably, you know, you saw them and they were like, you know, social media following zero, and now they're headlining shows.
Yeah, absolutely. And to your point, we've really tried to figure out other ways that we can support these artists, you know, beyond the written story itself. You know, something that I'm really proud is we've built a weekly playlist that we update every Monday. It's called The Forecast. We have 25 newer Chicago songs from Chicago artists, and beyond the opportunity to increase streaming numbers for artists, just another platform within our organization where we can directly get the music to music fans. And, you know, and another piece, our events calendar, you know, a little different now with everything going on in the world, but the events calendar was, you know, one of the most trafficked parts of the website. So we updated that as much as possible for artists big and small, you know, really highlighting You know, if a local artist is opening for a national act coming through on tour, you know, showcases, even, you know, panels and talks, any way we could support independent and local artists here in Chicago. That's, you know, that's what we try to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. The event calendar is a little different, isn't it, these days?
Yeah, and much different.
Speaking of that, why don't we talk a little bit about that? Because, you know, since COVID-19 happened and it shut everything down immediately, it wasn't even like, hey, in 2 weeks, you know, we're going to be closing for about 4 months. It was like, today, tomorrow, you're done. Thanks for playing. All the shows are canceled. Forget it.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit, because I think you're in the same boat as I am when we're talking to venue owners and club owners, which we know a lot of. What are you hearing from venue owners and club owners as this pertains? And then we'll talk a little bit about the artists. But I mean, a lot of them are in just, you know, dire straits, because a lot of them are working on very thin margins, and a lot of them are, you know, reliant on a big weekend to make up for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that might be a little bit slow. And yeah, right now, everybody's closed. So what are you hearing from some of the venues and clubs that you're working with?
Yeah, it's tough. They're in a bad spot, and I've been pretty impressed and, you know, not surprised how some of the venues have reacted, coming up with some really creative ideas. You know, like Queen, a longstanding residency party at Smart Bar over at the Metro, you know, they've mm-hmm. pivoted to this live stream model where they've got, you know, their DJs, you know, in-house residents doing different sets. I've seen the Empty Bottle do a lot of creative stuff, you know, from creating content around a new mural on their building to partnering with local artists to create different t-shirts. You know, I think everybody's in this together. You know, I think the, you know, conversation behind the curtain over in the music industry, everyone's been extremely collaborative. You know, we've been checking in with our venue partners, you know, mm-hmm. in the past, they would help us with ticket giveaways and stuff like that, which was great for us. So now it's time for us to return the favor. So we're definitely having a lot of conversations with venues to see how we can support, you know, one of our writers, Carlos, you know, great leader on the team. He went out and reached out to as many venues as he could and pulled together all the resources and GoFundMe pages and kind of just compiled that all together. So that piece is up on the website now. You know, we're just trying to give back, because these venues have taken care of us with press credentials and photo pit access and ticket giveaways. And so we're just trying to get the messaging out on how best to help them.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And, you know, I know that we talked a little bit before we came on too. There's the different organizations. There's Civil, which is the Chicago Venue Independent Venue yep. League. And then there's also the National Independent Venue League. And I know that they're all pooling together. They've got the hashtag save our stages. And so yep. you guys can check all that out on Twitter, save our stages, also on Instagram. But I mean, it's essential that all of them get together, because right now, what I think is being left out of the entire conversation, outside of the testing, outside of the vaccines, outside of the social distancing, outside of how are we going to open up a restaurant, is how are you going to open up a music venue that relies on putting as many people as possible across the threshold and selling right. tickets, selling cocktails, selling food, if it applies. I mean, I don't hear any discussion on a national governmental level, or, you know, local governmental level, although I know that there's some discussions behind the scenes, but I don't hear anybody talking about anything. So these two groups are really trying to push hardcore so that they can get some sort you know, put some sort of leverage and get their voice heard for the entertainment scene here throughout the entire country, let alone in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen some pretty creative ideas floated in the backdrop. You know, I mean, I've even heard of one venue is considering, you know, selling, you know, each ticket comes with like a taped off square, and that's kind of your space, you know, selling different tier ticket levels, kind of depending on how close to the stage you are. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, I think one entity that can really step in and help the greater picture is some of these brands, whether it's beer, spirits, you know, telecom, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to invest in different communities, different music scenes, different artists. You know, you're going to need these artists, you know, on festival stages and, you know, live streaming partnerships down the road. So they need you now more than ever. So I would definitely challenge anyone at a brand to kind of look and see what they can do.
Yeah. That's a great point, actually, because I mean, with all of these live streams that people are starting to potentially talk about. And then also, I think everybody's going to have to get very creative from not only the venue standpoint, the club standpoint, but also the artist standpoint, who was used to walking in and getting an X amount of dollar guarantee from a club because they know that we're going to have 1,000 people come in. Well, that's not happening anymore. So how can everybody work together to keep live music in these venues and the artists still working is going to be key. And I'm sure some brand manager out there watching this show, hopefully, will say, hey, wait a minute, that's a great idea. You know what, how we can leverage our brand and make a win-win for everybody. That's really, I think, the outside thinking is going to have to come into play. People have been playing around for 25 years in the same sort of business model, and I think everything's sort of having to change now, and it's going to be this way for a while. So, you know, it's not going to change by September. Things are going to loosen up in September, but you know, I think we're looking at, you know, summer of 2021 before things are a little bit more back to what we used to remember as normal. Now, what are you hearing about the artists? Because the artists, I mean, from everybody I've talked to so far on this show and outside of this show, you know, there's a lot of live streams going on. They're trying to figure out different ways to generate revenue streams with live streams, whether it's tipping, whether it's, you know, PayPal donations, all these different things. What are you hearing on your end from some of the independent artists that you guys have worked with?
Yeah, I think, you know, just like us, the fan bases, I think they're a little fatigued by live streaming and having to perform on a live stream. You know, it's, you know, it's not the stage that they want to be on. So I've seen artists, you know, try and think of other creative ways to interact with their audience. You know, I've seen a couple of them, you know, do things like, you know, cooking on their Instagram live or playing, you know, video games and esports, which I think is great. I mean, these music fans, you know, they have the opportunity to have really intimate relationship with the artists that they like. And, you know, I've been pretty impressed with some of the artists and what they've come up with. And, yeah, they're in a tough spot. I really feel for them, and you know, you know, they're putting up a lot of great merch, and I've seen some vinyl re-releases, and you know, I think continuing to just think of ideas like that is great. And I think, you know, something that I learned the other day on the merch side of thing that I hadn't really thought of is, you know, I think some of these artists think that they're going to run into, you know, issues of having to, you know, buy a large inventory, you know, t-shirts, for example. Well, there's companies and services out there now that will let you, you know, do like a flash sale. You know, I've got this t-shirt up for 5 days. After that, you know, it's done. That way, you know, all the sales are transparent and upfront. Okay, great. I sold 100 shirts. Now I just need to order 100 shirts. I'm not ordering 500 and sitting on 400 of them. So, you know, there's resources out there, and I think artists are getting pretty creative with it.
I, you know, and you tell me what you think, but I think that the silver lining out of this whole thing, and everybody that's watched this show knows exactly what I'm going to say, but the silver lining out of this whole thing is going to be that artists and some venues are going to figure out this brand new way of reaching new audiences digitally, and figure out how they can build their brand off of it and then relate it back to a live performance experience at some point. But I think that, you know, a lot of the musicians, especially, you know, they knew about live streaming. They knew they could do it on their phone. They knew they could do it on Facebook. They knew they could do it on Instagram. But, you know, they didn't. Yeah, well, I've got another gig. I got to go over here. Yeah. I've got this going on, you know, blah, blah, blah. They never really had time to dial it in, or they never really had to dial it in, but now they have to dial it in. But I can't tell you, you tell me, I can't tell you how many artists I've found doing a live stream, just scrolling through Facebook or Instagram feeds and say, wait a minute, this is kind of cool. I'll stop listening and say, well, yeah, man, you know, and I've been exposed to more artists because there's more of that content happening now, you know? So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. You know, there's some artists that, you know, I've been following, you know, through these days or casually listening as a fan, never had an opportunity to go catch them do a show. So, you know, the idea of some of these artists, you know, now and in the future doing, you know, weekly or, you know, biweekly, monthly, you know, live streams to just kind of connect with that audience that may not necessarily be able to make it to a show. I think it really shows that, you know, you got to be doing a whole lot of stuff to kind of keep your career moving forward. You know, I always think about, like, you know, I've worked with artists in the past and they're like, well, I posted it on Instagram. It's like, okay, well, did you reach your audience on Twitter? Did you reach your audience on Facebook? I think you kind of just got to think across the board here and build as much of a cohesive platform as possible.
Yeah. I mean, that, and now's the time to do it. And with the thought process that when this whole thing shakes loose, the people that have done it are going to be in a way better position when all of a sudden you can pack clubs and you can get people in. So I, you know, as bad as it sucks right now, at least that's the one silver lining that people should be thinking about, the long-term version of this whole thing. What's going to happen and what position you're going to be in when this whole thing breaks loose. So, I mean, you know, that's,
and surely some of these venues will have some pretty robust live streaming solutions, you know, moving forward. So why not already acquaint your fan base with, you know, what you're doing, you know, through live streaming. You know, if I was a venue, I'd be making some major investments and being able to just flip the switch and have live streaming capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that's going to have to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Even when this thing breaks loose and people are, you know, okay to go to a restaurant with 75% capacity or 100% capacity, there's a lot of people that are not going to feel comfortable doing that anyways because of all of this, you know. So everybody's going to have to adjust to that. But if you're in a good position, like what we were just talking about, you know, you're going to be able to maximize and think about the silver lining on the other side of this whole horrible mess. That's the best way to say it, right? So, so Patrick, so These Days Magazine, thesedaysmag.com, what do you have coming up? Because I know that, you know, from Chicago Jazz Magazine standpoint, we stopped doing the feature interviews right now. Just because we always do those in person and we do them in a studio and we do the interviews. So we're still pumping content out from reviews and from different articles and different pieces and columns, but the feature interviews are on hold. But what do you guys have coming up? Are you in the similar boat where you're still pushing out content?
Yeah, we're definitely doing a lot of, digital whiteboarding of what we can do next. You know, we're definitely focusing on things that, you know, we're already working and that we can double down on, you know, moving forward here. So the playlisting has been, you know, very critical. We've definitely reached out to as many artists in our network as possible to see if we can premiere new music. You know, we're developing some, you know, a series where we're more casually just catching up with artists in some sort of live stream format, definitely pivoting the events calendar to a calendar that focuses on what some of these artists are doing online. I know, you know, Do312 has done a great job of pivoting their entire operation to highlighting all those digital events. So, yeah, we're just trying to get creative, continue to support the artists as much as possible. You know, if we are doing some sort of Q&A or interview with the artists, we're definitely asking them, what's the best way for us to support you? Is it to go buy merch on Bandcamp? Is it to do tip jar on Spotify? So yeah, we're having conversations with those artists and just trying to get the word out there as much as possible.
Well, you know, obviously you got a standing open invitation to come back on Chicago Music Revealed anytime you want, and we can plug, you know, maybe the new articles, new information. If you've got something that all of our viewers and everybody should know about, just shoot me an email. And obviously you and I are connected now, so we're going to, you know, anytime you want to pop on and give us an update on anything, I'd love to cross promote with you as well, because I think all of us in the community need to stay together. And that's why I started this show for the live stream thing, because we needed to continue to create content, but we also needed to connect everybody together. And I don't think there's anything more important now that getting all the genres of music kind of connected together into one pool. And, you know, if all of us are together and we're pushing forward, when we get out of this COVID-19 situation, we're all going to be in a much better place. So, you know, anytime you got anything, you just let me know. I'd love to have you back on to talk about specific articles or information or news items, because I love what you guys are doing. And I know we're going to connect about a couple of things outside of this whole realm too, which could be pretty cool in the future. So I appreciate you jumping on today.
I appreciate you having me. I would be grateful for any opportunity to come back and share, you know, what we're seeing here in Chicago and beyond.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, you guys are offering a great resource, so I'm glad we got connected. And
me too. Thank you, Shonda.
Oh, yeah, right, Shonda, man, she's connecting everybody with everybody, as she normally does, I think. So,
yep.
All right, Patrick, I appreciate you jumping on today, and we will touch base. Actually, I'm going to connect with you offline here in a second once we close out the show. But
yep.
Keep safe, social distance, and let's all meet up in a venue together in person at some point, somewhere down the line, but very soon, hopefully.
That sounds like a plan to me.
All right. Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Thank you, Mike. All right. Appreciate it.
Patrick Welby. So that's These Days Magazine, thesedaysmag.com. I encourage everybody, if you're a fan of the Chicago music scene, a fan of indie music, wanted to learn about upcoming artists in all genres. And also, like I said before, I mean, he's got some really cool, there's like a jeweler on there that's connected into the music scene. There's the corner grocery store guy that's the hip hop grocery store guy, which is really cool. I mean, these are fun reads too. They're really kind of getting into the neighborhoods, into the different parts of the music community and checking everything out and telling stories that none of us would hear about. I mean, you know, I know people like that hang out with musicians and stuff. I mean, there used to be a place back in the, geez, some of you guys that are watching this will remember the Golden Dragon, the old Chinese restaurant right up in Old Town. He was a huge jazz fan. He'd stay open till 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I'd been up there with Roy Haynes was up there. Ahmad Jamal was up there hanging out. We're all eating wontons and stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning, talking, hanging out. There's 50 of us. So there's a lot of those places around the city that if you're not in the music scene, you don't know about. But these guys are covering things like that, which I love. So thanks to Patrick for jumping on. Again, tomorrow programming note, 3 p.m. tomorrow, 3 p.m. We're going to have Bobby Broom on. We're going to be talking all about what he's got happening on Thursday. He's got an exciting live stream happening with international jazz artists that he's going to be a part of. So we're going to talk to him about that. We're going to talk to him about how he's been holding up during this COVID-19 situation. We've got a feature interview with Bobby that we've got in the can that we're going to put out hopefully in the next couple of months. So we will preview that a little bit. And, you know, I mean, he's toured the world. He's an international jazz artist. And it's going to be a pleasure to have him on the show tomorrow. So everybody stay safe. I appreciate everybody watching, everybody chiming in, leaving comments here on Chicago Jazz Magazine and on the Chicago Music Guide, where we stream live every day. Tomorrow, 3 p.m., otherwise normally 4 p.m. And, you know, leave us a comment. Again, as I always say, if you like the show, please tell your friends, tell your neighbors, call the grandkids. Chicago Music Revealed right here. Thank you for watching. Like us, share us, and we'll see you again tomorrow at 3 p.m. Thanks for watching.